General Services Administration. It seems to me that Motor Vehicles Division, again, without being critical of the way they run the program, it just, you know, it's kind of like a fish out of water. I don't think it really belongs there. It belongs under the agency, which has the expertise in terms of, again, insurance and indemnification kinds of programs. And that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Representative Jones.
While I have no opinion at this point as to where it ought to be, my concern is that I don't think I have had adequate time to address the whole question of what needs to be done to fix a problem, if in fact we do have a problem or a perceived problem. I guess I'm not in a position right now to know if this is the correct solution. I would support the committee taking a further look at the issue, and maybe that would be an appropriate thing to do at a later hearing. And use either a vehicle we have or produce a vehicle to do something further with the fund. But at this point, without further information, I wouldn't be able to support that.
Further discussion? Representative Phillips.
Well,
we've seen the tip of the iceberg. We understand that the Transportation Committee is looking at it. We know we've got, there's something there. We're all trying to be real polite to DMV and not being critical of you because of a perceived problem and looking for the appropriate place for this fund. It's been with you since 1941. I find myself, or where has it been since its inception?
Representative Phillips, we were with SAFE until 1980.
Okay, I changed it up. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sounds that, like Chuck Gill wanted to drop that one pretty quick.
That helps substantiate my point a little bit. We've got a problem or a perceived problem. I'm uncomfortable with it being in DMV because I believe it to be an insurance issue, and I can think of one specific case where 18 months was, in my opinion, too long. Moving it may not settle that because Transportation Committee still has to work with the financial side of it.
That's correct.
But it may put it into a department where they're at least more sensitive, since you do already do claims follow-up and investigations over there and have the people. But I'd rather hear from Jane Houston or Gene as to what type of personnel impact it would have, administrative side of it. There's a few big gaps that quite haven't been plugged yet, although I'm not sure I disagree with the motion. I just think we need some more information.
Well, if I understand that motor vehicle fund is that it is a
station of last
stop, and which means that, and the testimony the gentleman gave in transportation was, they have to be absolutely certain that there is no other coverage that they can go to, private or whatever, and then they tap that fund. Well, I don't know why it takes, you know, a year to investigate it either. I don't deal with that. And I guess you guys are in between a rock and a hard place, because we hear from our constituents and they say, how come it's taking 18 months? And you're telling us because the system is that way. And these gentlemen are making a very strong appeal at this point because they're trying to do something for people out there. Yes.
Mr. Chairman Roberts, to answer your question.
Identify yourself again, please. Identify yourself for the tape again, please.
My name is Phil Pratt. Chairman Roberts, to answer your question, the time involved in an investigation is an advantage when you're a medical person, and we're looking at up to $300,000 in bills. The legal process can take time. After a bad accident, it does take time for all the records to settle into the files. By the time the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund acts, the information should be there, is there, and if it's a year down the line, it's a big advantage. We are masters of applying motor vehicle division laws to this situation. And the medical community relies on the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund by claim and by phone to clarify and sometimes to ask the fund to act as a negotiator with insurance companies and to interpret Motor Vehicle Division rules and regulations.
I appreciate that, and don't construe, I understand your time problem. My concern is, and I think Representative Springer also has articulated this, whether the fund is in the appropriate place in the administrative side of government, and whether General Services' role as it functions all throughout state government and the people out there would be a better place for it. I think that's the concern, not necessarily whether DMV is doing a lousy job or a great job. That's, you know, the side of it, where is the most appropriate place for the expertise to be put in to assist in that negotiation between insurance and state agencies, and what's the most appropriate place. It's not necessarily saying, you know, why wasn't it safe and how come it was moved. And part of my problems with the motion, I'd rather have some background information on it.
Are you through, Representative Phillips?
Representative McCarty. Yeah, a few minutes ago I was making a point that I recognized you had a point over there. I wasn't really talking to Mr. Representative Springer, I was talking to you. And I recognize you've got a point. But, you know, we can dwell on this forever. Now, I feel we should take time later on, pass this bill out, take later time, and look at it. This is mixing apples and oranges. They've got a system right now that works. Let's try to get the process going and get this bill out, and then come back. And if you're really concerned about it, if you're sincere about it, draw something up, and we'll consider it. But to bring Jane Austin in here or anybody else at this time, I think is totally inappropriate. Yes. So let's look at your concern at another time.
Okay. Further discussion. We have a motion on the table at this time. Before us, I wanted all members in here to vote on this, and no, we don't.
Peterson.
Because I think it's a very critical point. Because if these amendments are accepted, it's going to make a major statement, a major shift. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, it'll be a new program for us.
Well, but you ought to be the politician.
Mr. Chair, pardon me for being away, but I had something to take care of. What has been proposed?
That the motor vehicle fund and the indigent motor vehicle fund be switched to general services. And this takes in the amendments. I think that begins on 14D, is it? And continues through till all but the emergency clause, excluding chapter one, ORS 147, which is the crime victims chapter. And what we are attempting to do, that Representative Springer has a motion before this committee to adopt those amendments. And we've discussed it, and Representative Springer and Representative Phillips feel that General Services could do a much better job. The Motor Vehicle Fund are about 18 months behind on paying their bills, which is, as bad as it sounds, is better. 2 years ago, they were about 27 months behind. And we have a bill on transportation addressing the funding, continued funding through the license fee of that fund. It isn't whether the motion isn't based on whether they're going to get where they're getting the money from, but who should handle this insurance question. And it's Representative Springer's contention that General Services would do a better job and pay off faster. It's the Motor Vehicle Division people saying that regardless, that fund is based on a last resort funding, and it takes a long time to investigate and determine that there's no other insurance vehicle to pay for these bills. So when that's exhausted, then it goes to the motor vehicle fund. Am I correct? So the discussion is, do we leave the funding of those two programs where there are, or do we bring it over to General Services, since General Services is the major insurance arm of state government?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And if I'm wrong on that, I did a heck of a job trying.
Couldn't have done it better myself, Mr. Chair.
Question?
You're calling for the question. The question has been called for. I'm going to, I think we understand what the motion is Representative Springer's motion to accept the amendments beginning on page 14D, following, am I correct?
Yes.
Following all the way through to the bill, with the exception of the emergency clause and with the exception of the ORS under 147 that involves the Crime Victims Fund. You heard the motion. I am going to ask for a roll call vote. Is there any further discussion of the motion first? If not, call roll.
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Dolan?
No.
Miller?
Oh.
Jones?
No.
McCarty?
No.
Bunn?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Chair?
No. 6-3, it fails. Since the motion to accept the these amendments were not accepted, they are no longer part of this bill. Representative Jones.
Mr. Chairman, are you ready for a motion on the bill?
We have another section of this bill we did not cover.
What other section?
Crime victim.
That was not discussed.
No, I didn't make that motion.
We did not have a motion on it, and that's what I'm going to do. If there's no motion on a crime victim, then...
Mr. Chairman, the perpetrator of the motion of the... of the amendment previously expressed a desire to not move on that section.
I misunderstood what he said then. The bill is prepared for a motion. Representative Jones.
The committee administrator is about to die over there. Would you like to recognize her?
Christy.
Yes, I just wanted to draw to the committee's attention that you have not addressed the emergency clause. You may choose to have done that on purpose, but I wanted to make that clear on page 15.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Jordan.
This is going to go to the complementary committee with Glenn Otto as chair.
No, it's going to Ways and Means.
Okay, but will it eventually end up in Glenn's committee?
I would assume so.
I have no further comment. I would move that we adopt the amendment. Where is that emergency
clause? Page 15.
Last page.
On page 15.
It's actually not an amendment.
It's truly not an amendment. It's not an amendment. It's on
we
the
can
bill.
Accept the bill without
that's why if I just moved
oh, okay.
it.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Representative Jones. Representative Dunn. Let's get some order here.
Okay. What's the need for the emergency clause? Did I miss?
Gene?
Mr. Chairman, the emergency clause is needed in order to get us into the program as soon as possible. We have some major insurance policy renewals come up that this would help us with.
Okay.
Representative Jones.
I move House Bill 2152 as amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
It's going to Ways and Means. We don't go to the floor. It goes
He's
directly
got a
ways
subsequent
means.
Referral to Ways and
okay.
Means.
Okay, I move we send this little bill there. To Ways and Means.
With due pass recommendation?
Yes, sir.
Representative Jones moves House Bill 2152 as amended to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Call roll.
Phillips.
Aye.
Dolan.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Jones.
Yes.
McCarty.
Aye.
Bunn.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Springer.
No.
Chair.
Aye. Bill has passed two Ways and Means, two pass recommendations. That is the last piece of business we have before this committee. I adjourn to state that.
Can the committee wait?